The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring it to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 13th day of April, Thursday, 2023. And tonight, the guy on the dials, his name is Stiles, and he's with us tonight on the board, our producer. Hey, Stiles.
Hey, good evening, Pastor.
Good evening. And right here live in the studio, we're going to be starting out with a prayer tonight, but I'll do that right after I introduce my guests, because right here live with me, I have Pastor Hal Larson's daughter, Debbie Larson.
Hi, Pastor.
Hi.
Happy to be here.
And then our special guest tonight, from Florida. Oh, I hope she's not around the water, the rain. Is Lori Cardoza Moore. And Lori, welcome here. And she's with Proclaiming Justice to the Nation. How are you, Lori?
Amen, Pastor Ernie. I'm doing very well. Thank you. And no, I'm on the high ground in Orlando. I was in Fort Lauderdale actually yesterday morning. I had to drive back to Orlando. So I got out of town before the floods started to open up.
My son and grandson just arrived from about an hour ago from Orlando. They just flew in tonight.
Oh, and, fantastic.
And so anyhow, we're going to kind of start the program off with a kind of a sad note, but Pastor Hal Larson, who is part of Doers of the Word Baptist Church, my associate pastor, we had to rush him to the hospital, to the emergency room today, and we still don't quite know really what's wrong with him, and they don't know at the hospital yet. They're running a lot of tests on him, but he became into a whole lot of pain. Debbie, he just suddenly became in a lot of pain, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He got weak, and just knew that he needed to go to get checked out. So.
He looked like he could barely stay conscious, and he didn't. And so, anyhow, we're going to open up in prayer now. You see, we're a big believer of prayer here. We're always telling the folks out there, and we're always asking the people whenever we pray to join with us, because you know, Lori, the Bible tells you, little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. But much prayer, much power. And every single person listening to us tonight, if they don't need prayer tonight, they will need prayer soon.
Yeah.
And so, Scripture says, those that show mercy receive it. And we're going to ask the folks to join us as we pray for Pastor Hal. Yeah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, Father, you know, we don't know, in the hospital don't know what's wrong with Pastor Hal, but we know you do, Lord. And we know that... us people, we don't have any answers. We got a lot of problems, but questions and very few answers. And you don't have any problems, and you've got all the answers. And so with that, we want to hold Pastor Hal up and ask this, Lord, that you would intervene on him tonight, that you would touch him, Lord God, and you would bless him in every area where he could receive that blessing. and Lord God, and that he might be healed and get back to work, because we have a lot of work to do, Lord. You've given us a lot. And these things we ask in the name of the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Lori, we're going to do some scripture reading tonight out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And then I'm going to have you tell us all about what's coming up on Sunday, the 30th of April here. Mm-hmm. And so let's go to, and as we go through this, you can join in, ask any questions, stop me, or ask any questions as we go through this Bible study here.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul is saying, dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unjust and not before the saints. And that word unjust is the same used for unrighteous, the unrighteous. Now, we have a problem today. We have an extremely corrupt government. And I've been preaching this stuff for 50 years. This is why we had the Ecclesiastical Council housed in Doors of the Word Baptist Church, where we would bring people to the council where they could avoid the heathen courts. And if they agreed to abide by counsel's rules, we would hear their cases, and that would keep them out of the courts. And guess what? They would keep their money. It wouldn't all go to the judges and lawyers, huh? And so, for those that were smart enough to do that, well, he goes on to say, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? And now, how many times, you know, people, when for years and years, when I would be out in front of those bloody abortion mills preaching against that horrible, horrible America's national sin, you would have these women coming in there, Lori, and say, judge not lest ye be judged. Okay, right. But they never would go on, and I would tell them, you know, if you read that, keep reading, and you'll find out that he says, but when you judge, judge with righteous judgment. And he's not saying not to judge. He's telling you don't hold other people up to higher standards than yourself. In other words,
right.
But these girls, they didn't know that. They went with their sound bites. And you know, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And so he goes on and he says, know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more the things pertain to this life?
Right.
Now, here again, we have to understand that Jesus said, he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so many Christians don't act like they believe it. And that was...
You're absolutely right. You know, Pastor Ernie, you bring up a very important scripture because, you know, people, when you call someone out for doing something that is unjust, and then they throw that verse out at you, what they don't realize is that verse, in its proper context, if we are going to judge someone, the area that we are going to judge that individual must not be an area where we have a problem. When we judge one another, we judge righteously, and when we correct one another, we correct one another to bring them back into proper relationship. And how do we know? How do we know what is true? How do we know what is just? Well, it's very simple. We have the Bible. We have the first five books of the Bible, the Septuagint or the Torah. That is the foundation of all truth, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And unfortunately, people don't want to go back and they don't want to read that portion of the Bible, especially Christians. And this is a shocker for me because I have Christians who say, oh, no, that's the Old Testament. I don't read that. I'm a New Testament Christian. Well, that New Testament scriptures, there was nothing new in the New Testament scriptures. Everything that was spoken of by the disciples, by Yeshua, was first declared in the Torah. The foundation was laid. So there was nothing new. And unfortunately, we have become a society that, as believers, we don't know the Word. We don't study the Word to show ourselves approved. and we look at what's happening to our country, we look at what's happening to our children, we should not be tolerating what's happening. And this is going to be, you know, we're going to talk about what's coming up in Hudson on April 30th, the summit that we're hosting to take back America's children. It is time, Pastor Ernie, and I'm so grateful for the work that you've been doing. You're laboring in this field for all these years, for 50 plus years. There are many, many pastors who do not want to get involved today. They want to just stay on their path. They want to just everything be simple. We're not living in simple times. And we are in desperate times. And it is time that we, as believers, as people of faith, as people of the one true God, stand up and say, enough is enough. We have drawn a line in the sand. You can go no further, Satan. This is demonic, Pastor Ernie. We are fighting a battle, a spiritual battle, and we're not prepared for it. I'm so glad you talked about opening up in prayer and praying for our brother who needs a healing. Because we, the authority that God gives us in prayer to call forth that which isn't as though it were, we've been given that authority. We have that ability as believers to pray without ceasing and to call in and to expose what is going on and to hold leaders, ministers, elected officials accountable for their choices. And, you know, just as Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak, and not to act is to act. We don't have the luxury of not acting anymore. We as the body of Christ have set back, and we've said, oh, somebody else is taking care of it. Somebody else is fighting the battle. No, it's not us. There is no Calvary coming. We're it.
Well, you know, Laurie, you know, in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, which is a familiar verse to everybody here, the Lord makes it very, very clear that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And then he goes on and says, because you have forgotten my laws, then I will forget your children. America's children have been forgotten. They have, look what is happening. It's a horrible, horrible things that are happening to our children in this country. But see, here's what people don't understand. God's Word, the Bible, gives us three main missions from Genesis to Revelation, Lori. Mission one, of course, is called the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. That's first and foremost, and that's to take the gospel out to all the world, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and teaching. But mission two, from Genesis to Revelation, God's Word, the Bible, expressly teaches that resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Resistance to... Now, failure to resist tyranny is always disobedience to God. And then number three, he tells us to, over in 2 Thessalonians, to stand fast, hold our ground, not give up any ground, and hold fast to the traditions of the apostles. Okay? Meaning the books of the Bible. And so, I remember, I don't know, you're not that old probably, but I remember back in the early 60s when the German Enlightenment movement came, and I was wondering, and I asked, I said, what is going on here with this? Because if you remember, the neo, what we call neo-evangelical movement started there, and when they came in and they were talking about pastors needed in America had to get in touch with their feminine parts. They had to get in touch with their feminine parts. As a young man, I thought, I don't think I've got any of those feminine parts, okay? And here, but you had these preachers that wanted to be sweeter than Jesus, and the boldness was gone. There wasn't any testosterone. There was no manliness. And back in those days, when I was a young pastor on the radio, I would get into it, conflict with some of these guys who were very effeminized men that it shouldn't have been. And I got to tell you, when they would tell their people not to listen to me because I was too radical or this and that, and I threatened to send them a pair of pink bloomers in the mail and then announced that I sent it to them. And boy, when I did that, they quiet, no more. I didn't get any more. They stopped. They didn't want to have their name mentioned receiving the pink bloomers. But anyhow, that's where our problems lies today. It's been you see, the Bible says judgment begins in the house of the Lord, but it begins in the pulpit. No place has our Lord been more dishonored than from the pulpits of supposed to be churches because of a dearth of courage. The Bible says the righteous are as what? Bold as lions.
Lions, that's right.
Bold as that's lions.
Right. And that's what we have to be. We have to be bold as lions for our children. You know, we're dealing with this demonic oppression over our children, and it's no wonder when we look at what's happening in the classrooms. And, you know, my message to parents, especially parents with school-age children, today is to pull your kids out of the school system. Now, I know that many parents, it's not practical, they can't do that. But if they're going to keep their child in the system, then they must be engaged. They must be aware of what their children have access to in their school libraries, what their children have access to in their curriculum, in the textbooks, what their children have access to on their iPads or their Chromebooks, because these kids are being subjected to every vile, evil, wicked thing we could possibly imagine. And on top of that, as if that wasn't enough, our children are being told by the education establishment that they don't have to tell their parents if they want to be a different gender. They don't have to tell their parents if they want to be called by a certain pronoun. They can keep all this secret. They are undermining the commandments that calls for our children, for all of us to honor our mother and father. The school system is working against us, and they are destroying our children, and it's creating confusion in our children's minds. I was given 87 books of these are library books that our children have access to here in Tennessee that are pornographic. They are evil. There is witchcraft that is in these books, and these children have access to it. And we are going to be holding a press conference in the coming weeks calling for the removal for Governor Lee in Tennessee to remove our Commissioner of Education, because the buck starts with her leadership. These books came into the library. They get, and this happens everywhere. This is not just Tennessee. This is across the country. This is in Ohio. You can go to an elementary school, a middle school, a high school, and you can look at the pornographic books that our children have access to check out, to read. And these kids don't have to, again, they don't have to tell their parents. Our children are being sexualized in a way that is losing their vulnerability. These children, it's losing their innocence. And these kids are being groomed for this sexualized culture that we live in. We are destroying our greatest resource, our greatest asset, our future, our children, and their future. And if we as parents do not get engaged, whether you are a homeschool mom, whether you have children in the school system, moms and dads, you must go to school board meetings. You must listen to what their plans are, what the curriculum is. You need to look at the textbook. Because if you don't look and see it, it won't have the shock value. I was so upset after looking at these 87 books. I called one of our state senators and I said to him, have you seen what they're subjecting our children to? And I told him, I said, this commissioner of education must be fired. What happens with these library books? And it's not just in the library books. It's also the propaganda that they're teaching our children in the textbooks. But what happens with these library books is publishers like Penguin House or Penguin Books Random House, reputable name, Galactic. They drop off, they have a company that drops off books that go into the library. They give these books to the librarians in our children's schools for free. These books get placed on the shelf, and our children have access to reviewing them, to seeing this, not just the images, but also reading this degrading and sexualized content. And if we as parents do not stand up to them, they will continue to demoralize and destroy our children. We cannot do this to our kids. We have children that are suicidal. We have children that suffer from depression. This is crazy. We didn't. I grew up, I was born in the early 60s. I grew up during the 60s and in the 70s. We were never subjected to this kind of content. And I went through the public school system, and that was in Florida. But if we as parents and citizens, and it's not just for parents, if you are a tax-paying citizen, if you are a believer in Christ, you are duty-bound to stand up against the evil and the wickedness. We do not, if we do not obey his commandments, his decrees and his statutes, then he will pour out his judgment upon us. He gives us those laws and those guidelines, those boundary markers, so that we will be protected from the evil that will come upon the nation that violates his laws.
Well, you're right. You know, and again, the Lord said, you know, what you've done to the least of mine, you've done it to me. And it's very, very clear. It's just, you know, for 50 years, I've been telling people, if you love your children, get them out of the public school. If you love them, get them out of the public schools. And I was attacked by, I was actually attacked by some of the older pastors that really should have known better. And I remember one of them who was a friend of mine, and he told me, well, if we don't send our children in there with a gospel message, how are those kids in the public school going to find Jesus? And I said, look, you have to understand something, okay? You're sending your child in there where all the authority figures are antichrist, where they're totally against everything that you've taught your child. Your children are not going to bring change to those. They're going to change your child, and that's exactly what happened. And I remember I had two ladies that I've known, and they attended our church. And, you know, when their children were small, they did have them in a Christian school. But when they got bigger, they put them in a regular secular high school. But then they paid for them to go to secular college. And one of them called me. She's a very well-known woman, written many books. And she called me, and she just cried and cried. And she said, I wish I had listened to you. I wish I had listened. Mm-hmm. Both her son and daughter, they went to two different, turned completely against God, completely. And they took the indoctrination process. But there's some good news, Lori. On you know, I've seen since and Debbie, if you want to jump in, I've seen since the midterm elections, everybody said it was a big loss for us. Well, maybe it wasn't Congress, but let me tell you where we won, and that there was like over 300 school districts in this country that mm-hmm. the parents took the school boards
right.
back.
That's the positive, because they weren't most everybody was paying attention to what was happening in Washington, D.C. No one was paying attention to the local level. And this is what we said. This is what we focused on over the last 2 years, is going county to county, state by state, as many counties as we could speak to parents and citizens, telling them you have to flip your school board. The key to taking back our nation is by starting at the bottom. You got to flip the school board, take back local control of your children's education, and ultimately, eventually, we will take back control of this country. It's going to take a long time. We didn't get here overnight. We're not going to get out of this mess overnight.
But you're absolutely right. We got a hard break. Hang tight. We'll be right back.
I had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, "We want this country back. And our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore." Remember golden days when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. Is right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, "We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more back. And we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore.
No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Some of us haven't been taking it at all. We've been fighting from day one, and it ain't over with till we win, and we will win because the Lord said we would, right? And he gets it right every time, right?
Amen.
All right, we're back with Lori Cardoza Moore, and you know what she's all about? She all about proclaiming justice in the nation, and she's got something big coming up here on April 30th, a Sunday, and that's, I believe, is in Hudson, Ohio. Tell us about it, Lori.
Yes, absolutely. It's going to be at the River of Life Community Church on Sunday in Hudson, and we've got about 300 seats to fill, and so we're encouraging everyone in the Northeastern, really across the state of Ohio, to join us at the one-day summit. We are going to equip the parents and citizens who attend to flip their school boards. We're using the model that we used in Williamson County, Tennessee, back over a decade ago. And we had a mom whose son, and this was a homeschooling mom, homeschooled her children like I did. We homeschooled our kids together, and we homeschooled them through elementary and through middle. And then we put some of our kids in private Christian schools. Some of us put our kids in a public school because they had activities, extracurricular activities that their children were interested in participating in. Well, this one mom who was a member of our organization, her son came home from school one day. This is the first year that he is in a public school. He's in ninth grade. Only three months into the year, he comes home and asks his mother who has legitimate rights to the land of Israel. And she says, what does the Bible say? And he said to her, he said, I know what the Bible says, Mom, but tell me the truth. Who has legitimate rights to the land? Again, this was a child that had received a homeschool education. A solid foundation was laid for this child academically, and it only took 3 months for him in the public school system to start questioning his faith. So you're right, Pastor Ernie. We've got to try to pull our kids out of the system. But what happened was she brought me a textbook. Her son came home with a textbook that basically challenged who the legitimate owner of the land of Israel belonged to. Well, we all know as believers, God gave that land to Israel. That land is part of an eternal covenant that incorporates the land. We're told in the Bible repeatedly, do not move the ancient boundary stones. And unfortunately, this child questioned whether Israel had legitimate rights to the land. And the book also had quotes accusing Israel being occupiers. And not only did we find that anti-Israel content and anti-Semitic content, the content that was anti-Semitic was legitimizing a Palestinian terrorist blowing themselves up in a Jerusalem restaurant because they were waging a war against Israeli government policies and army actions. As I reviewed that book, not only did it have that content, but there was anti-American, anti-Judeo-Christian. And I was saying back then, if we don't get these books out of our children's classrooms, we are going to lose our country. Because our children, even a decade ago, were being taught to hate America. And so, of course, we went through the proper channels to try to remove that textbook because it was inaccurate, it was biased, and it did not reflect the values of our community. Well, we couldn't get rid of the book. So some of our state legislators started holding hearings at the state capitol in the education committees. And we reviewed the textbooks, and they saw the content that we showed them. We were able to change laws in the state of Tennessee requiring that books used, history books, geography books, social studies books, have to be accurate, unbiased, and reflect the values of the community. We were able to change those laws. But there was an election year. It was the year that the elections were up and the school board races were up, the even years. There were 12 members on that school board. Six of those members were even-numbered districts. They were up for re-election. When there was a hearing, a school board hearing, and we asked them to remove the textbook, we mobilized the community to show up at that school board meeting. We had standing room only. And parent after parent, citizen after citizen, got up and said, get rid of this textbook. It does not reflect our community's values. Williamson County, Tennessee is the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. It's one of the most conservative, wealthiest, top 10 Republican counties in the country. And we've got churches on every corner. And to think that this garbage has made it past us, the gatekeepers, the parents, and the citizens, the believers in that community. Well, that night, the school board voted to keep that book instead of doing what the parents and the citizens had asked. And I said, when I got up to speak to ask them to remove it, I told them, I said, this is an election year, And if you don't remove this book, at our request, we're going to remove every one of you from office. Well, that was in April of that year. Come August election year, we went to work those 4 months. We had 4 months to flip the school board. We found six candidates to run. We found people to volunteer. We found people to raise money to support their campaign. And come August, on election day, we took down every one of those school board members that were up for re-election. The model that we use has worked in other school districts across the country. We've done it in Florida. We had several during this last election. We had several counties that we were involved in and have been involved with for the last decade that flipped their school boards as well. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is a winning opportunity for us to take back control of our nation. It starts with the classroom. It starts with our children. It starts with our families. It starts with you and I. And so we are going to, we've got organizations that are coming in to help us with training. We've got the Turning Point USA is going to be one of the sponsors. They're going to be participating. Moms for America, they're sending someone to participate. The National Religious Broadcasters is one of our sponsors. We've got the Protect Ohio Children. They're going to be participating as well. They're one of the sponsors. Dan Ramada with Citizens for Free Speech, he's another sponsor. They're going to be with us. The Ohio School Board Constitutional Coalition, they're going to help with the training. SOS Ohio with Jim Renacci, he's going to be there talking about what they're doing to help find candidates to run for school board. So we've got this power-packed meeting to help parents and citizens run for school board, to flip the school board, to take back control of our state. And so we can't do it without you. This is an opportunity for us to get engaged. It's not asking for a lot. This is a school board race, but it's a way that we, because Pastor Ernie, you know this better than most, that we have a duty to impact our society, to influence our community as believers. And we stand as gatekeepers. We're reminded in the book of Ezekiel about the watchman and the duty of the watchman to sound the alarm, to warn the inhabitants when the sword is coming upon the land. We are supposed to speak up. And this is the way that we're going to equip parents and citizens to show up. Pastor Joe Del Torio is going to deliver a message that morning about our biblical duty to engage in the culture, to not be silent, like Dietrich Bonhoeffer said. And Stephanie Meyer, she's going to be coming to do a training on how to lay out the strategy for victory, to take back local control of our community. So we've got people from different counties that are going to be participating, that are coming in from Ohio, from across the state of Ohio, and we expect that we're going to have some participants from some of the surrounding states as well.
All right, anyway, here's what I need for you to do. What you sent me in the text message, I need you to email me that where I can print it out, and we will continue between now and then to remind people, and we'll have you back between now and then again to remind people that this is very, very important. See, back in about the early to mid-70s, there was a lady named Martha Lippitt, and Martha was actually a teacher with a one-room schoolhouse, the little one-room schoolhouse, Ten Commandments on the wall, a Bible on her desk. With that one little schoolhouse, and I think it was grades from 1 to 6, I think it was there, would you know that the ACLU come in wanting her to get rid of that Bible? She called me, wanted to know if I could help her. We started the homeschooling movement back in Ohio, back then.
Wow.
And when she called me and she said what they were doing, I said, let's fight, let's take it to them. And so what happened, it started out. At that time, Lori, there wasn't any, well, there was some, but very little curriculum. But now it's just amazing how it took off, how homeschooling took off here in Ohio. And in fact, not only that, but every day in this country, there's approximately three new Christian schools open. Now, we have some that close, too, that's for sure, but but that is growing. The people are learning. But here's the thing, Lori. As you know, I've been to a number of these school board meetings, and these are anti-Christ Communist Party. And the school boards, they are totally taken over by this the so-called woke, which is anti-Christ. And here, Merrick Garland is as corrupt as corrupt can get. He is the most corrupt attorney general we've ever had. That's just the truth. I've got a history of this guy that would just make you sick on how corrupt he is. They've sent people within the school board coming after the parents, trying to harass them, trying to intimidate them. Well, when we have one, our county sheriff's deputies are there, and they won't put up with any of that because, you know, we have a constitutional county where I'm not going to put up with that. It won't happen.
Thank God. Thank God for the sheriff, because we're trying to get a hold of Sheriff Dukowski, I believe his name is, and he's in Portage County. But we have tried to reach out to him because the sheriff is critically important in all of this. As we are attending these school board meetings, you're right, Pastor Ernie. Merrick Garland has labeled us parents and citizens who show up at school board meetings as domestic terrorists. We have to take back that control from them. And our sheriff guarantees our rights. When we go to these school board meetings, it is the duty of a constitutional sheriff to ensure that our constitutional rights are not infringed upon, that our mics are not shut off, that we are not carried out, that we are not put in handcuffs, because we are communicating to the representatives who were elected to represent us. They don't serve at the pleasure of the NEA or the ACLU or any of these other liberal organizations. They serve at our pleasure, and they need to be reminded of that. And if they aren't willing to listen to us, we the people, and our concerns, and make the changes that need to be made in our children's classrooms, then it's time for them to go.
And about 3 years ago, I spoke to 250 county sheriffs in Liberty University in Lynchburg, and I'm going to tell you, these guys, they were like us. They wanted, let's take our country back. And and I know out here in our county with our sheriff, Scott Hildebrand, he is with us. In fact, he's been to our church twice to speak, and telling us. In fact, he said virtually every man in this church should be armed, because if they come after you, you have to defend yourself. And there's this Antichrist movement, the days we're living in right now, where you've had Antifa on that and Burn, Loot, and Murder have said that they're going to start shooting white children.
Man.
And so...
Yeah. You know what amazes me is that they try to villainize the parents and the people trying to protect the children, when if we all were watching a playground and the children are playing and just being children, and people come at them with scalpels or people come at them to harm them, it would be the common sense thing to do to cause a scene, to protect the children, to sound the alarm, to say, hey, get these people off the playground. But yet when people do that in a forum or a school board setting, then they change the rhetoric to make them seem like they're the villains, the ones causing trouble, when really it's for the love of the children that people are standing up and saying things. And if you look at the testimonies of children who've grown up, they say, I wish that somebody would have stopped me. I wish somebody would have helped me work through what I was feeling or try to understand rather than just push them along this agenda line. And so it's crazy, because the very people who are stepping up to love the children, to genuinely fight on behalf of the children, are the ones that they're trying to get everybody to think are the crazy ones, you know, causing scenes and just hateful people. It's really, really something when you observe that.
Well, you know, I want to, some years ago, and going all the way back into the 90s, we had, when, you know, these computers started in all the libraries, all had computers. I had three ladies, three women who worked for the National Library Association, and they were being silenced because what they had done is they had refused to let these kids get on this look at pornography on the computers in the libraries. And so they called me and they said that it's a terrible thing, but people need to know what they're doing. So so I put them on the radio. And see, back in those days, I was not really familiar with these computers. And, you know, to me, they seemed very complicated. So I said, I don't know. I says, I don't know how can these 10-year-old boys access this stuff. I said, I mean, I can't even do it. And they said, well, it's really not very difficult. They said, give us one word, and that word's the slang word. You know, well, I guess we could say it now because the feminists had their caps. Remember, they were all wearing their and their outfits. But that's the word they used. They said, watch. And guess what? They put that one word in the computer, they hit it, and they came over 30,000 pictures of a woman's... And I said, I don't believe this. They said, yeah, this is what the kids are looking at. Do you understand? I said, now I do. Now I understand. I can't, you know, this, you know. Man. And so, and that's the way it's been. And here, today, it's much worse because of the smart aleck phones. These smart aleck phones that you... What was I just showing you just before we went on the air today, Debbie?
You showed me the a lot of videos and stories of women who have been you basically we said that back in the day when you would hear about people running around, oftentimes it was the man that would leave
most
the family
of the
and
times
stuff.
It was the men that would desert the family.
But then you showed me like all these videos and stories of the women being the ones that ran
if
out.
If there was infidelity when I was growing up, you know, it was almost always the men. And there were certain words you would never hear a woman say, okay?
Oh, yeah.
So we took a look at this because these were all the divorce court, the cases they had in a divorce. And here it was, it showed you that these were all women who were cheating on their husbands. And because, Lori, the smart aleck phones give them access, a new freedom to cheat on their husbands, and with the texting and things.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, but for them, their husbands weren't always that stupid. They could figure out when they would put the phone down or, you know, when they come in. But it's turned around. Everything is turned around the opposite from what it used to be. And here, you know, when I was a kid in school, the teachers were a positive influence. I mean, we started out our day in prayer. And when I remember in middle school, of grade 6, 7, and 8, we would go, you would have a prayer over the loudspeaker in the morning, and then when you went to your homeroom, that teacher would lead in another prayer, okay? It changed when I got to high school. They still had a morning prayer, but today, you'd be arrested. In the public school system, you'd be arrested. Mm-hmm. And the children would be mocked and abused if they got caught praying, huh?
It's unfortunate that that's the reality. You know, one of the greatest honors that we've been able to be involved in with PJTN is working with Governor DeSantis' Department of Education. And we were invited to review textbooks, and that's one of the things that we offer to state departments of education, is reviewing textbooks, instructional materials, supplemental materials, library books, to vet them to make sure that the content is in alignment with state statutes, state standards. Well, we were involved in helping to draft the civic standards for Florida. And in the standards in Florida, the only state right now in the nation, we're working on trying to get this introduced in the standards, the civic standards for Tennessee, because we're getting ready to review civic standards in Tennessee and, God willing, in Ohio. as well, but we were able to put into the standards, and this becomes law. This is required for all children, K through 12, to learn about the role that the Hebrew Bible played in the founding of our country, the role it played in the drafting of our founding documents, the role that it played in our form and structure of government, our republic. Our form of government came out of the Torah of Moses, out of the Septuagint, the first five books of the Bible. Florida is the only state in the country that has that as a requirement. Now, we started reviewing the textbooks because once the standards are adopted by the Department of Education, they go into law, then the textbook publishers have to publish textbooks with this content. We could only find one publisher that had the Judeo-Christian values that our nation was founded upon in their book, in their civics textbook. Only one. So we have to sit as gatekeepers. Once we review the textbooks and the instructional materials, the job is never over, because every year or every 6 years, a new set of books or a new set of digital content, because now the problem is that they're not printing textbooks anymore. So we don't get hard copies. They are digitizing the textbooks. So now the textbooks are online, and you have to have a login. You have to have login information. You have to have a passcode. And how do you know that the book that you're looking at is actually the real book that is being used in the classroom? So these people, this whole industry is so corrupt and so vile and so wicked. When we found that textbook in Tennessee, when we were able to get the state legislature to address getting rid of that textbook, and they did, they told the publisher, Pearson Publishers, that if you want our business, then you pull that quote out of the textbook, the anti-Semitic, anti-Israel quote out of the textbook, and you'll get our business. Well, they took the quote and they stuck it on another page. We went through the book cover to cover to make sure it was completely gone. No, it wasn't. It was just on another page. This is how they operate. So
Shiesty.
It's so important, you know, for us to be involved in the process of vetting our school board members.
Well, they're doing that now with critical race theory. They're just changing the name. They're calling it by different names. But they're teaching critical race theory again in schools. And we catch them every now and then here. But we know. But they've got to learn. Let me tell you, when somebody sues, school boards get sued before. And what they're doing, this is child abuse. And what they're doing, undermining the family. Enough of them get sued for doing that, for molesting. And that's what it is. It's mental molestation.
Yeah.
We're coming up to a break here, Lori. When I come back, I'm going to play a clip with what's taking place today. This is Matt Gaetz, and he is going after Secretary Austin and General Milley. And I'll tell you why we're going to play this clip afterwards, because it has to do with our military especially, but... Hang tight. We'll be back right after this with a whole lot more, so don't go away. More to come.
Fight the fight. Fight the lie. We are there. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.